Hi, welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom.
Welcome to podcast number 26. These podcasts all come from a series of four books I have written entitled In Defense of Christianity. The ebook, paperback, and audio can be accessed at ronaldmesser.com or on Amazon. Today's podcast is taken from Chapter 4, Sanctification, Volume 3, The Law of Liberty. It is entitled The Blessings of Keeping the Sabbath Day Holy. It is unthinkable today in our frenetic society to have a national day of rest once a week where the working world just stops and we contemplate spiritual things. But for the first 200 years of our history, keeping the Sabbath day holy was actually part of our American culture. In the South, when I was a child, we had the Sunday Blue Laws. I remember in Spartanburg, South Carolina, when the drive-in theater manager was arrested for opening his drive-in on Sunday. However, they didn't take him behind the drive-in and stone him. He was instead supported by a mob of young people who wanted to go to the drive-in. The Sunday Blue Law soon died and taken off the books or just forgotten and ignored, and with it, the last American sanctuary. Ancient Israel also struggled with Sunday Blue Laws. In chapter 13 of Nehemiah we read, Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel for profaning the Sabbath. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do it again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. One of the purposes of the Sabbath day is to free us from the labor that occupies the other 6 days of the week. In Exodus 31, the Lord, speaking of the Sabbath day, instructs Moses, Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. One of the purposes of the Sabbath day is to remind us of the creation, to remind us to turn our hearts and thoughts to God who created heaven and earth and man. One guide to keeping the Sabbath day holy is to ask, Is what I am doing on the Sabbath day reminding me of God? Recreational activities that detract our thoughts from God were generally considered in Christian tradition to be inappropriate on the Sabbath day, and once upon a time were reserved for the other days of the week. On the practical side, if it was necessary for God to be rested and refreshed, how much more is it necessary for man? How did we allow those who do not believe in God to rob us of such blessings? It makes the hardest of toils easier. Simply returning to the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, will do more for the worker than all the unions, all the laws, and all the designs of man. Imagine if the blessings of keeping the Sabbath day holy were voluntarily returned to our nation. The death of the Sunday Blue Laws in the South was the beginning of the end of a universal acknowledgement of the Sabbath day as a designated day of rest. Since that tragic victory of freedom from the onerous burden of keeping the Sabbath day holy, millions, because the Sabbath day became like any other day, lost their freedom to choose what to do with their time. They became slaves to the system. They gave their employers the right to schedule their time on the Sabbath day as they did the rest of the days of the week. We lose more liberty in the name of freedom than ever we lose in the name of tyranny. Keeping the Sabbath day holy was the first national environmental protection law. From Mount Sinai, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. From the beginning, the Lord intended for us to look after the land. In Genesis we read, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." The commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy was also the first national health law and the first jogger's code. The prophet Isaiah tells us, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even thy youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Isn't that what we primarily are supposed to do on the Sabbath day? Wait upon the Lord? Consider the blessings of those who wait upon the Lord. King David tells us, "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." David also says that if we wait upon the Lord, he will have mercy upon us. The prophet Isaiah adds, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The Sabbath is also a reminder that we are all servants in one form or another, held captive by tyranny, necessity, work, etc., and only the Lord can deliver us. Moses said, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath day." Rather than Egypt, think of the workplace. Aren't we all servants? Aren't we all burdened by the heavy hand of chance, by the responsibility of making a living, by the uncertainty of survival? It is a kind of covenant, a promise that regardless of our circumstances, the Lord can deliver us. Where the burden is not removed, our backs are strengthened. Regardless of the oppression, we grow stronger by keeping the commandments. Linda, there is a practical side to keeping the Ten Commandments that is easily overlooked. The blessings and cursings are not arbitrary laws, but natural consequences of irrevocable laws based on absolute truth. If you want to go on a treasure hunt, search the Holy Scriptures and ferret out every blessing attached to a commandment. A God who cannot lie is bound to his promises. It only makes sense that all blessings are irrevocably tied to law, and law is companion to truth. If you want a blessing from God, seek the law that grants it and obey that law. As we study the Sabbath day, we find a number of blessings attached to keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Actually, as you gave your monologue, I counted 7 specific blessings related to the Sabbath day. Blessing number 1. Physical health. As you read in Isaiah 40, those who keep the Sabbath day holy shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Hold on a minute. Every day I've been busting my buns running up and down the Smoky Mountains trying to keep fit. And all this time you're saying I could have gotten the same results by merely keeping the Sabbath day holy?
I'm not sure I follow you.
It's a no-brainer. You keep the Sabbath day holy by resting, right?
That is part of it, but not all.
You rest by sleeping.
If you mean sleeping, taking a nap, I suppose is acceptable, but...
The more you rest, the holier you get. And the holier you get, the more you can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And to think, I've been going about this exercise the hard way.
I don't think that is what Isaiah meant.
Words are words. I've been going about exercising the hard way, running 5 miles up and down these mountains like a mountain goat.
First of all, husband, just to set the record straight, you don't technically run up and down the mountains. You walk uphill and run downhill.
The leaves on the trees shake as I whiz by.
They shake because a slight breeze is blowing. I'm sure I saw a turtle pass you.
About that turtle. I accidentally kicked the turtle, making it look like it was running faster than me. And then I just sort of played with it like kick the can. And did I mention that yesterday on the top of the mountain, I outran two wild hogs?
Yes, you mentioned it several times. You said it was because you thought the old sow was going to eat you.
She was going to eat me. She came straight at me.
Perhaps she was merely protecting her young.
What comfort is that to me as I move through her digestive system? Besides, that is not the point. The point is that I can turn up the speed when I need to. But all that is in the past. Now that I know that just by sleeping all day Sunday, I can run and not be weary and walk and not faint.
It doesn't work that way, husband. Isaiah is assuming that you first will run and walk, exercise. Anyway, I was just rattling your chain to get a rise out of you. I am very proud of you going 5 miles no matter what speed. You may crawl up one side of the mountain and roll down the other. It all counts. For a 78-year-old man, any movement is good.
Okay, I accept your apology, such as it is. But joking aside, it is interesting that keeping the Sabbath day has such enormous promises. We, of course, associate diet and exercise to personal health. We do not think to associate keeping the Sabbath day holy to personal health.
Blessing number one was physical health. Blessing number two is spiritual health. In Leviticus 16, the Lord describes to Moses the Day of Atonement as it relates to the Sabbath. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Our age is so concerned with the physical body, we sometimes overlook the fact that we also have a spirit body, in the likeness of our physical body, that also requires nourishment of a spiritual kind. Keeping the Sabbath day holy nourishes both the physical body and the spirit body.
We are learning more and more that the health of our physical body is intimately tied to the health of our spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul tells us, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body."
Perhaps that is what God meant when he compared our body to a temple. Please continue with Paul's words.
"What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
It is a fascinating doctrine that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if we are clean, the Holy Ghost can dwell in our heart. Just imagine a member of the Godhead always being with us. That refers back to what you call blessing number two, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from your sins before the Lord.
Keeping the Sabbath day holy has even a broader scope. It is as much about the workers as it is about the owners. Consider blessing number three. By keeping the Sabbath day holy, we would even have better working hours. It is actually the first union labor law. In Exodus 20, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath day was to be a day of rest for everyone, owners and employees. Even the animals were given a day of rest.
Yes, and the workers are put on the same basis as the employers. We could actually add blessing number 4, the law of equality, for all should have equal rest before the Lord.
The prophet Nehemiah adds blessing number 5, which I call rest from merchandisers. And if the people of the land bring wares or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt.
In many places in modern America, merchandisers have their best day of the week on Sunday. Shopping has become a Sunday pastime.
Blessing number 6 promises the blessing of self-reliance. We are told, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. In other words, we are required to work and not depend upon the dole system.
It was never the Lord's intention that we be idle. Where humanly possible, we are supposed to be self-reliant. From the beginning, the Lord said we are to earn our bread by the sweat of our brow. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Another of the great blessings of keeping the Sabbath day holy, which you can list as blessing number 7, is the promise of liberty. In Leviticus 25:8-10, we read, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possessions, and ye shall return every man unto his family.
I love the idea that liberty is so inextricably tied to the Sabbath day. For example, every 50 years they were to proclaim Jubilee. Significantly enough, on the Day of Atonement, a day to proclaim liberty. Would you please read Leviticus 25:13-14 and 18-19?
Sure. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety.
Those blessings are extremely generous, for so little effort on our part. Physical health, spiritual health, better working hours, the law of equality, rest from merchandisers, self-reliance, liberty.
That is actually just the beginning. If you look closely, many more blessings are listed. We shall be returned to our own possessions, be relieved of oppression, dwell in safety, have rich crops and fertile fields, be rested and refreshed, have a perpetual covenant with the Lord, have our strength renewed, shall dwell at ease, shall inherit the earth, shall receive God's mercy, shall delight ourselves in the Lord, shall ride upon the high places of the earth. Jeremiah also tells us that the nation that observes the Sabbath day shall endure forever. He was not just speaking of Jerusalem when he said in Jeremiah 17 that our nation shall remain forever.
Jeremiah also pronounced a curse if we do not obey the Sabbath day. He said, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched.
In Exodus, the Lord tells Moses of another blessing, that verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you.
Even another of the great blessings of honoring the Sabbath day is listed in Ezekiel, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God.
When the Lord came in person to live on the earth, The Jews had so ritualized the Sabbath day that they entirely forgot to remember the coming Savior. It is for that reason that they rejected the Savior even when he dwelt among them. Christ despised their hollow worship and established himself once again as Lord of the Sabbath. In Matthew we read, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it shall fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other."
Our Lord restored the Sabbath day to its rightful place, as he taught in the story of creation. It is to rest from your labors, to worship God, and to serve man.
Are you saying, then, that you shouldn't sleep all day Sunday?
Touché.
In Luke 13, Christ said, "Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Christ went about doing good on the Sabbath day. He healed the sick. He released people from bondage. In Luke 13, we read, "And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
A kind of benediction was lifted from the land when we turned the Sabbath day into an extension of the work week, or a day of recreation. To some extent, we lost the ability to choose what we could do on the Sabbath day. We are often forced to work at someone else's leisure.
Regardless of the choices of others, we personally can choose to reverence the Sabbath day. As we attend meetings, renew covenants, study scriptures, and comfort those in need, we will personally receive the promised blessings. Observance of the Sabbath day is a personal law with many promises.
Can I make just one more point? It is no coincidence that the millennium comes in the 7,000 years. The millennium begins when Christ comes to reign on the earth 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day unto the Lord. It is therefore the Sabbath day of the Lord, in which all the blessings of the Sabbath day will be restored. During the millennium, the earth will be cleansed. The earth will be at rest. Would you please read Micah 4:3-4?
"And he shall judge many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it."
During the millennium, there will be self-reliance, liberty, equality, peace, safety, prosperity, spiritual and temporal health, relief from oppression, rich crops, fertile fields. Not only the earth shall be cleansed, but we will be cleansed from all sin. It is no wonder that James in the Holy Bible calls the Ten Commandments the law of liberty. That is primarily due to the promises listed in keeping the Sabbath day holy. No nation that does not honor the Sabbath day can be absolutely free.
Let's end the podcast with the glorious promise of the Lord stated in Isaiah 65. "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
You know, Linda, it just occurred to me that a precursor to the millennium is in observing the Sabbath day. All the blessings of the millennium are simply a restoration of the blessings we have lost by not keeping the Sabbath day holy. If we keep the Sabbath day holy, we are promised liberty, peace, prosperity, health, safety, the absence of fear, rich and fertile fields.
But why should that come as a surprise? As the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, the millennium is the Sabbath of the earth, which was created by the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.
In Defense of Christianity is available at ronaldmesser.com.